Over the last few weeks, we have celebrated some pretty major events. We celebrated the ascension of Jesus. First the resurrection. We celebrated his resurrection. We celebrated the ascension. And then what was the last one we celebrated? The Holy Spirit, Pentecost. And all of those events have something in common. They were historical. They were actual events that shaped what was happening in their world and of their day, and actually in our world today as well. But they were actual events. Excuse me. So today, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is the only feast day in the calendar year of the Episcopal Church that does not have meaning in an event. Instead, it has meaning, spiritual meaning, a depth of meaning into who God is in our lives. It's not anything definite that we can say, oh, he did this on a certain day, but it is the Sunday that has been designated to help us understand how God's will and work has unfolded over the course of history. It's as true for us today as it was to the disciples when they first heard and learned how to experience it. The Trinity is all about relationship. The relationship that exists between God, the God of all creation, and the same God who created mankind, the people, you and I, to be in relationship with him. And it's the same God who sends his son, Jesus, to embody the love story of that relationship, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And we are told in Scripture that God so loved the world, so loved the world that he had created, that he sent what? His son into that world. And that son comes to embody, to enflesh, you might say, the love story of God to his people. You see, Jesus comes to reveal who God is to us. And then, ultimately, the Holy Spirit will be coming. Not that he isn't already there, or she, as I like to say, is the sustaining force that operates in the world today of that relationship. Trinity is a mystery. The early church wrestled with this mystery, how to define it. It's a mystery of three in one. Three in one. But it is also the story of a very special love. God is a God of love. In order to be loving, now think about this, in order to be loving, you have to have someone to love, right? You got to have a parent, a friend, a spouse. You got to have, it's a relationship. You're not on your own when you're loving. So God is a God of love. And that relationship is shared between God the Father and God the Son. And God the Son will come to bring and show the love of God in creation to the people that he was dealing with. And then it spills over into the Holy Spirit, which invites all people in to both the fun and the joy and the miracle of the relationship. So there are a few aspects of God. Well, these are just a few, because I didn't have time to do a really extensive list. So, we hold these in tension. God is one, but God is three. Yeah. God is here, but God is everywhere. God is mighty, but God is tender. God is just, but God is merciful. God is spirit, but he takes on the flesh of humanity in Jesus. And God is also spirit, the force that lives within us. God is one, but God is three. Three different aspects of God, intertwined, interconnected, no beginning and no end. It's just, if you've ever seen a Celtic knot, it's the perfect example of a picture of God. Three intertwined shapes that you can't find the beginning and end on. They just all interact and are interconnected. One piece. So, the truth is about God that we could not possibly know God unless he took some kind of initiative to introduce himself in a way to us. He teaches us what he is, particularly through Jesus. The Israelites had a vision of God, but it was incomplete. And so when God sends his son, we will get a more complete picture of what God is. Jesus comes to teach us what God is, and he comes to be in the world both perfectly divine and perfectly human. Always divine, but yet always human. So, Jesus comes to show us God's mercy and his forgiveness. And Jesus becomes a seeker of the lost. He becomes a healer, a reconciler. And ultimately, he imparts spirit. And the spirit comes to work within us, to teach us, to lead us, and to empower us. The concept of the Trinity helps us to understand the fullness of God, but also the mystery of God. In our psalm this morning, we read, O God, how exalted is your name. How exalted is your name. And the psalmist goes on and he talks about the wonder of creation, the moon, the stars, literally the magnificence of the world in which we live. So, what do we experience when we look at the vast rolling waves in the ocean? What do we experience when we sit and look at the mountaintop or gaze over fields of flowers or just miraculous things of creation? Do we experience and realize the power and the love of God in those things? Our short passage in Matthew, this is probably the shortest gospel passage in the entire cycle of readings, takes us to Jesus, the Son, who came to show us what God is like. He walked the dusty roads of Israel and shared God's love and mercy to everyone he encountered. Now, Jesus in this passage tells his disciples to go to Galilee, to go back to the very beginning, to go to Galilee, where the whole story of Jesus began to unfold. He sends them back. And Matthew is clear to tell us there are only 11 of them, which must be somewhat poignant for the disciples. They have lost one of their own. But Matthew notes there are only 11. And he also says, some did what? Doubted. Some believed and some doubted. This is a motley crew, folks. This is not a group that has it all together, that knows everything that needs to be done. If they knew everything that was going to happen, they probably would have really scattered. But this is a motley crew. This is a crew kind of like us. Jim, some believed, some doubted, they're short a guy. And Jesus says to them, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you to baptize them in the fullness of who God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he tells them, as they're sent out, that they're to carry this story with them. He tells them to make disciples. Okay. That is an active word. He doesn't just tell them to give speeches or pat people on the back. He says, go and make disciples. He says, so as you go along your way, speak to people and make disciples. As you go from town to town, share the story of God's love. As you go into the homes of people who invite you in, tell them your story. Tell them who you, as you go, as you walk, as you teach and pray and listen, tell the story. Today, as you and I go, an active word about what we do, do we realize those opportunities to share our faith, to be the disciples that Jesus has sent out? The mystery of the Trinity invites us into this relationship completely. We have a God who longs to be in communion with us. And the best way that he could do that was to send his beloved Son, the relationship between them, to send his Son to become human and share the story. It's just a love story. Just think about when you first got involved with somebody and you just thought that he or she was the end all be all, right? Weren't you just so excited? You wanted to be together. You wanted to tell the story. You're calling your mom or dad. Well, I think I found the one. But this is it. In relationship, in the story of love, it kind of bubbles up and overflows. You can't keep it in. It's a love story. That's what the relationship in Trinity is all about. It's a story of a God who loves us more than we can possibly imagine. We don't have to earn it. He gives it. And he longs, this God of the Trinity longs to be known. God reaches out to the world. He sends his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God takes the initiative. Jesus reveals the reality of who God is, and the Spirit emanates from their relationship and works in the world. And I'm going to suggest to you that it's the Spirit working in us that brings joy and peace and happiness and understanding and love and relationship in our lives with one another. And also, is the Spirit that convicts us when we are doing the things we know we shouldn't be doing. I know none of that happens with you all, but anyway, this is what Richard Rohr, who is a Catholic theologian, says about the Trinity. The idea, this is a direct quote, the idea of the Trinity is that God is a verb more than a noun, and energy and action more than a concept. God as Trinity invites us into a shared experience as participants. That's a new way of looking at God. God is a verb rather than a noun. God is active, always moving, always engaging. God is a verb. God always on the move, always reaching out. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. A mystery that we are invited into. A love story. And an invitation to take that love story and be a part of it, to let it infuse our lives and then go out into the lives of the people that we encounter. May it be so for us. May we be empowered by the Spirit to be the people. May we seek out relationships. May we share the news, share the love, share the joy, and walk on in faith. Amen.